Knew you'd like that part. So we're glad to have the kids share about what it means. And as we think about what it means to be young in faith, this morning's prophet that we're going to be thinking about is a fellow named Daniel, whom we believe was no more than 14 or 15 when he was taken away. It was kind of shocking this week as I was reading some materials. It was at the time that Nebuchadnezzar swooped down with his armies in a time period, 25% of the population was taken away. Can you get a grip on that? That's a lot of people to take and move physically and then strategically take the youngest, brightest, and best, take them away to basically brainwash them into the ways of the king. In order, he had King Nebuchadnezzar was brilliant in this, not unlike some of the kings of that day. That was normal, occupy, but not only occupy, but take back to your home country and, for lack of a better term, just brainwash the youngest so that they could lead the people and therefore control all of these lands that Nebuchadnezzar and his empire, the Persian Empire of that time, had conquered. There's no way they could have done it without that methodology. And I'm thinking of how much faith changed us. Now, what we see here is Daniel resolved not to defile himself. That's kind of the theme verse. This is 8a of chapter 1. And Daniel made a mental, physical choice to say, I am not going to be like the world. When the world is pressing down, Daniel said, no, I am resolved. That's actually what the text tells us there. It says, resolve not to defile himself. And what we see, and I've learned a great deal reading the Daniel plan and the intricacies of that. Rick Warren wrote this several years ago. You may have seen it on Oprah and other places. Just got pushed heavily. And it's not a diet. It's actually a strategy in understanding, and Rick Warren does a great job with this, by using the faith part to give understanding. Now, here, follow this, these five increments: faith, fitness, food, focus, and friends. With all of those things together, it's not just about willpower. It's not a diet. It's not a plan. It is a holistic way of living. And Daniel was one of the best, as we look at that text in the Old Testament, how he lived his life and stood up to the pressures of the world, in a sense. And you can't do it without fitness, food, and focus, and friends. And he got assistance from many others. Just for instance, he used Dr. Daniel Amen, who is famous for his abilities to understand the psychological issues that go on with that. And for, you may have seen his work or been aware of his work, and it's incredible how Rick Warren integrates that. And that's what I really appreciate about these five things. And I think what we'll see in this is other ways. In fact, he quotes Corrie Ten Boom. Some of you know that name because you know that she wrote a book that was profound about her experience in the concentration camps of Nazi Germany. And she was a Jewish, obviously you can see it by her last name, but she made a decision to follow Christ. And he quoted her in her book, but by saying this: if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you'll look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at what? At rest. True peace, at least for Daniel, was that he had resolved in his mind to say, I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to make a decision and then follow what God has given me. Jesus said, and this is our theme verse, I really appreciate this from John 16, it's the theme for the context of these messages this summer. Jesus said, in this world you will experience what? What is the word?
Difficult.
That's right. If you could say it, you could get through it, because it's going to happen, right? It's right there. But take heart, Jesus said, I have conquered the world. In fact, he goes on to say, I've told you this so that in trusting me, and that's what faith really is. We talked about that last week. What faith really is, trusting, you will be unshakable and deeply at peace. So last week we talked about how adversity is to be expected, but this week we see that Daniel resolved. He made the decision. Whatever it is, he made the decision to stand a against the pressures of the world. Again, as I said, 586, incredible things were happening in the world. Transformations of borders was occurring in the land. You can read all about it on outside sources, outside the Old Testament. It all happened. And Nebuchadnezzar was his armies had swarmed into Israel, devastated the country. And as I said earlier, 25% of the population of Israel was taken prisoner of war. And Daniel was one of them. What's interesting about Daniel is that because of what he went through, he had the opportunity to experience the fullness of that. We believe that he might have been in his 80s then when he received the final prophecies that today we're still reading. Why? Because it's all about the coming, the second coming of Jesus. Daniel's one of the prophets that was trusted with that information. Daniel was trusted by God, entrusted by God, to deliver those messages. And we see that it was a challenging time. But what was it in Daniel that God was able to develop? What was it? And we're going to look at those four things today. First, the I is for integrity. And it's not about I, but it's about what you are when no one else is looking. Never forget who you are. Daniel never did that. He never forgot about it. He was resolved to not defile himself. He just said, I'm not going to do that. Now, let me just take you back to the food laws. The food laws were a part of the Hebrew Jewish culture. Why? God said, trust me. Next week, we'll look at covenant. In fact, we actually get to baptize a baby and the child of the covenant next week. It's exciting opportunity. Why? Because we're people of the covenant, the God's covenant, God's purpose. And in covenant theology, as we understand the food laws, they were put, God said, if you follow these, you will stay in relationship with me. The trouble with the food laws and all the other laws that we find in the Old Testament, the problem for the children of Israel and for the Hebrew people was that they got lost. Where? They got lost in their relationship with God. All they focused on was the law itself. Don't eat this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. It was all, in effect, outside focus. And we remember from last week, God was always interested in what? In the inside. In the heart, in the habits of the heart, and which is one of the reasons that Daniel said, I'm not going to eat at the king's table. That's what the text tells us. He didn't choose to do that. In fact, we see this in the New Testament. Paul, who did break the food laws, you've heard me say this before, Paul ate pork. Remember I've said that? I know you're tired of hearing it. But just get the point here. Paul chose to break the barrier down, said, that's not it in the New Covenant. The New Covenant was that God's blessing is on us, and it's all about relationship. Don't conform yourself to the values of this world. Instead, let God transform you. That word, Greek word there is metamorpho, which we get the English word metamorphosis, which we understand is how God actually takes one thing and makes it new. He transforms you by the complete change of how you think. Who does that? God does. God is working. He did the same thing to Daniel in the Old Testament. Daniel made a decision, but God transformed him. Then you'll be able to know the will of God, God's purpose in our lives. So integrity is crucial for Daniel. We also see that he was disciplined. And Daniel's discipline is seen that he controlled his ego and his appetite. He said, no, I don't need to eat at the king's table, even though it looks pretty good. It was probably food that was not familiar to him. It was part of the brainwashing system. So I imagine the very first thing that they brought out to serve all of these young Jewish young kids was what? Pork, right? I mean, that's what they brought out. It just to test them and say, are you going to go over to our side? And Daniel said, you know, I really can't do this. And so he worked. Now, you heard me read the text earlier from Daniel chapter 1. He offered, and you'll see that later in the message, how he responded back to the guard. But here we see Daniel saying, no, I'm going to control my ego and my appetite at that point. He made up his mind not to eat the food and wine given to them by the king. He just said, no, I think there's another way to go. I think of one of the statements that I read, and I chuckle at it. I'll share it with you as I was reading about the Daniel plan. He makes this comment. He said, if it comes from a plant or grown on a plant, eat it. If it's made in a plant, leave it. So we know the challenges, right? Food, holistic food coming from the plants, coming from the things, holistic way, yes, that's what God wants us. He made it for us. Yet sometimes the stuff made at the plant tastes really good. I have to admit that, right? So we like those things, but yet they're not really that great for us. We've come to learn that those things aren't really good for us necessarily. So Daniel had discipline, and he chose to follow God's plan and hold true to his heritage that was given to him by God, and God blessed him for his discipline. In Romans chapter 6, we read this, "Do not let any part of your body become a tool of wickedness used for sinning. Instead, give yourself completely to God." In other words, let God use you because you want to be a tool in the hands of God used for his good purposes. So he's given us this as a tool. Our bodies are a tool. In another text, it's our bodies are a temple, or we're called to take care of them, to oversee them. God gave them to us, everything inside of us, so we are called to take care of them. We are called to be people of discipline. That's what Daniel did. Thirdly, we see that Daniel had great courage. Of course, we remember the rest of the story. If some of us had got a chance to go to Sunday school, we learned about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and where did they end up? They ended up right in the middle of a fire, right? And it was there that they showed great courage, right? It was a great story. At least I thought it was a great story in Sunday school, right? We said, those three guys lasted in the fire. They're not burning up. And neither was Daniel. And we have that great story that we can call on, but that was there. Be willing to stand alone. Daniel was willing to make the stand and said, I will have courage. A number of the praise songs that we sang this morning talked about taking a stand. In fact, the song that was sang right before during the offering, we sang that beautiful song. It's a rendition of what we believe, what we stand for, the fullness. Actually, it's a statement of faith. On this day when we take communion, we come to the table, it's a statement of what we believe. What did Jesus do for us? Courage to say, I'm willing to take that stand and be a part of that. In Exodus, we read this part, never follow the crowd in doing wrong, and don't be swayed in your testimony by the mood of the majority. We often see the children of Israel being flopped around on whatever was happening, the people following this, a majority. Yet, it's God's people who take a stand and say, no, this is what I believe, and this is what I stand for. No matter what, we stand for that, having courage to believe that. I've always appreciate what Billy Graham says about courage. Courage is contagious, he says. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are stiffened. Isn't that interesting? Courage actually empowers others. When we in a group, and that's why when Rick Warren works with that Daniel plan, he said, your friends, those four, five Fs that you kind of brings together, it's in community that we have strength. We know that we can be courageous. We stand together. The Rick Warren statement, we're better together, we're staying together, being courageous in that. And then we see the Apostle Paul who says, and we'll see it next week in the next prophet, Jeremiah, where he says, be strong and courageous. Stand true to what we believe. Be courageous, be strong. No doubt the Apostle Paul, who was trained in the Jewish under Gamaliel, he knew the prophets. He knew those stories. He knew what they stood for, which is why we see them in the pages of the New Testament. We just see them unfold. They just kind of plop out. It's right there. This is what we believe. This is what we stand for. This is our courage. This is what we want. The last part, which is kind of the focus, I want to close out the message and the passage I read to you earlier, is the way in which Daniel stood up but used humility. I don't know whether our world lacks humility more than anything else, but I'm getting to that point where I don't want to hear any more rants on any subject. Amen. we hear one thing after another, and it's one side against the other side. It's like, wait a minute, that's not the only way. There's another way. And Daniel chose another way. He didn't come up and say, my God won't let me do this. No, he came to him and he took a different rant. He said, be tactful with authority. He knew that the king's guard, he was just a young boy, 14 or 15 from what we know, and he knew that the king's guard, at least the text tells us, go back and look at the text, it says right there, he knew that he was facing corporal punishment, death. The guard was going to be in trouble. But instead, he chose to be tactful. Notice this. Daniel offered a suggestion. Isn't that interesting? I don't know about you, but sometimes I get frustrated with certain rules that come up. And if I'm with, you're standing in line or you're talking to someone, and, my wife also often reminds me, says, you don't have to take it out on that person. They probably didn't make that up anyway. whoever made that rule probably isn't the person who's delivering you that bad news, whatever that is. I'm sorry, that product isn't here today. If you call back, you can get this. It's not that point. So we could need to be more gentle. If we're followers of Jesus, we can take a different route. Humility is that. Daniel demonstrated humility. He offered a suggestion. Just test us for 10 days in a diet of vegetables and water. Then you'll see how healthy we look compared to the young men eating the king's food. Then you can decide whether or not to let us continue eating our diet. So that the attendant agreed to Daniel's suggestion. How did Daniel get him to agree to a suggestion? He offered a different alternative. He didn't get belligerent. He just said, no, could you? Would this be possible? Perhaps that's a different method to get to the same place that really we want to go. Humility is exactly that, an opportunity, and we could possibly use that for our application, saying, Lord, teach me more about humility. When the three-year training program, I love this part of the passage, the translation, because it's kind of funny. What we believe, and it's accurate, the text there is really accurate in understanding. Nebuchadnezzar developed a three-year program for young men and women, because they were trained, they were cross-training all of them to become servants in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. And in that three-year training program was completed. All the young men were brought to King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, who's at work here? It's got to be God. God is honoring the integrity and the discipline and the courage of Daniel, who talked with each one. And Nebuchadnezzar, it's what the text says. None impressed the king as much as Daniel and his three friends. So they each were promoted to the positions in the king's service. It's at that point that we see God's promise, God's deliverance using Daniel, because he did have integrity. He did have discipline. He did demonstrate courage and humility at that point. It is always challenging when we come to a point and we think about the stories, and I'm so glad to have the kids share this one. Actually, a couple of them came early, so at the first service got to hear them too. So good for our kids to encourage us, because faith is important. And we see integrity, discipline, courage, humility all make up who we are. But it really is about what we are. Francis Chan is a speaker. The session studied a book, and we did as a church studied some materials that he had developed. And in another place, he told a story. I've got this. Some of you will wonder what this is up here, but I'm gonna ask for some help. Maybe I can get. Could I ask for a volunteer? Dean, do you mind? Steve, would you mind volunteering? I'm just sorry. I didn't ask them ahead. They volunteered. Give me a big hand for helping me out. Okay. Yeah, thanks. No, they're not going to jump around. Just go from one end to the other. Let's see how far this rope goes. We're just going to see this. It's a long rope. I don't know why I own a rope like this, but I do. I went camping. I thought I needed rope, and I obviously needed way more rope than I needed. But this is a big rope. It goes from one end, and Steve's rolling it up at that end. Now, stop for a moment. When Francis Chan told the story, on your rope there, Steve, you can come on up. Come into the middle. You find that piece of tape. The rope is really long. If I could stretch it out that way, you'd see it. But there's a small piece. Thank you, guys. You guys are phenomenal. Thank you. That's all I need right this moment. They're going, I'm going to kill you later, Bob. It's okay. I'll pick it up later so nobody falls. So no worries. But here it is. Francis Chan took the long rope. It goes from one end of the place to the other end of the place. And then he said, here's your life. This is eternity. The rope demonstrates eternity, but here's your life. And this is what we do in our lives. We are concerned about this little bit right here. We have all the world's worries and all the focus, but what is it? What really matters? What really matters? What happens in here, we develop integrity and discipline and courage and humility. It's right here. And those things can make a difference in eternity. Because it affects others. It affects the way in which we live. I said earlier that I actually took that picture, so you know, give me some credit for my, I actually know how to not get my finger in the middle of the lens. What's interesting is that's Lake Tahoe, if you didn't know, from the cabin at Zephyr Point. I was at the pastor's cabin this week, Patty and I got to go up for a few days. In fact, I can't even get it. It's the only time I could get it. It's been overrun because there's so many people applying for to get it. And what was interesting is I took a picture at sunset, as you can see, and I was thinking about, you know, that Lake Tahoe, 11 miles wide, 22 miles long, huge, 1,600 feet deep or whatever it is deep. It's nothing in comparison to who God is, but it's such a massive. And you think about this little section here and how much we fret and worry, but God wants to develop us so that we can enjoy all of eternity with him. I'm so grateful for that, the rope of life that we have. And in a sense, when we think about this rope and all that it is, it can get all mangled up. You see that? It gets all, I can mess this up really good, but I'll never use it again. I'm not sure I'll ever need to use it again. It's so long. But you think about how much God wants us right here. He was willing to send his own son to change this part of how we live. We can be in eternity with God forever. And, you know, it takes forever just to get a grip of how big and wide and long and deep God is. And one of the things that always reminds me about coming to communion is that God wants to change us, to make us whole, to give us an opportunity for life. Jesus came for every single one of us to change that section so that we could know that by taking a stand, something would change. That integrity is who we are because God is giving us, and we are so grateful for prophets like Daniel and Isaiah and Jeremiah who demonstrated discipline and courage. That same kind of courage and integrity and discipline and humility can come to us because Jesus transforms us, metamorphos, changes us. Right here at the table. At that night, Jesus was gathered, text tells us, with his disciples. Literally, the text tells us again that Jesus took the bread. After giving thanks, he took the bread and said, "This is my body, given, given." He gave this. And in the same manner, he took the cup. Pouring it out, he said, "This is the new covenant." As long and as often as you drink of this cup, you do so in remembrance of me. The great promise that we read in the Gospels is that Jesus said, "I will not drink of this cup again until I come to take you home to be with me in paradise." Lord, we thank you for these simple elements that are here this morning on this table. And Lord, for all of us who live in this life, we know how hard and adverse conditions can be when the world tries to pressure us. But Lord, you give us, by your power, the strength to stand up against that which is against us. So, Lord, thank you for the examples of the faith that live in the Old Testament, those who've gone before us to demonstrate the purposes that that you have for us. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we continue to be inspired by those words as we ask for you to move now in our lives. As we confess our faith and trust in you by partaking of these elements, bless them for your purpose. This we pray in Jesus' name.